Father, we pray that you speak to us. Be very close to us, Lord. Right now, even as we open our lives to you, we ask and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Welcome to the house of God. Well, I wanted to continue our series. As I prayed through, the Lord said, you know, detour a bit. So I'm going to talk about the rooster a little bit. Since for the Chinese, this is the year of the rooster. So I'm going to pick the famous rooster in the Bible. You know that one? Okay. The famous rooster in the Bible. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 26. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 26. I've entitled the message, Before the Rooster Crows Again. Before the Rooster Crows Again. Some of us know this story. This is the story where Peter denies the Lord Jesus. So a little background of this story. If you go all the way up to chapter 26, we see the background to this. You know, there's a plot against Jesus. And then, you know, Jesus goes, he prays, and then there's the Lord's Supper. All right? And we want to begin picking up a couple of passages and see what happens before the rooster crowed. Okay? And draw some lessons that we can learn from there. And then apply it to us and say, okay, you know, what are we going to do before the rooster crows again? All right? That's the message title. So, we see, reading from verse 17, the Last Supper. Okay, so Jesus is there. We're going to pick a couple of verses, and obviously we're going to highlight Peter and what he did and what he said. All right? So, Jesus is having supper with the disciples, and then he tells them that, you know, this is it. You know, it's going to be the end. The shepherd is going to be struck, and, you know, all the sheep will be scattered. All right? Go all the way down. Verse 31 onwards, Jesus then predicts that, the title of the NIV caption, he says, Jesus predicts Peter's denial, right? So, Jesus is talking about what is going to happen, okay? In verse 31, this very night, you will fall away on account of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I've risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. And then Peter replied, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. I truly tell you, Jesus answered, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. But Peter declared, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the other disciples said the same. Today I want to talk about six things that happened to Peter before the rooster crowed. All right? And so you see here that Jesus is saying this is what will happen before the rooster crows. Okay? And after this passage, you see Jesus going to the Garden of Gethsemane and he prays, everybody falls asleep. He goes off pray, he comes back, everybody's still sleeping. And then after that, Judas comes and Peter, very interestingly, as Judas comes and as the soldiers come to arrest Jesus, Peter was the one who stood up to defend Jesus. Okay? So they come and in verse 51, it says, Matthew puts it this way, one of Jesus' companions, you cross-reference to the other Gospels, you know that it's Peter. He reached out for his sword, drew it out, and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Very interesting, right? And so here is Peter. The soldiers come together with all these priests and everybody to arrest Jesus. And Peter pulls out his sword and whacks the servant of the high priest. Whacks off his ear. Okay? When I was young, I read this passage. I thought, wow, this Peter, quite chun, accurate, lah. You know, he goes, I want your ear, you know. Then to realize later that, hey, that's not the case, you know. What Peter probably went for is the head. And not the ear. He went for the head and this guy, you know, ducked and the ear flew off. And so, you see Peter ready to live up to what he said earlier on. Right? If everybody desert you, you know, I'm not going to desert you. I'm going to be there. I'm going to, you know, even to the death, I will be there. And here we see Peter doing or trying to show that he's serious about what he said. And then, Jesus is taken. From verse 57 onwards, he goes through a trial. And Peter, in verse 69, now Peter was sitting in the courtyard, and there was a servant girl who came. Alright? In fact, let's backtrack a little bit. To verse 57, the beginning of that passage there. So it says that those who arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the teachers of the law and the elders had assembled, verse 58. But Peter followed him at a distance, right up to the courtyard of the high priest. He entered, sat down with the guards to see the outcome. So, Peter is somewhat serious, alright? He's following Jesus, and you know, he's checking him out, what's happening, and he sits down with the guards, and then he goes on, in verse 69, while he's sitting there, you know, one of the servant girls come to him and says, you were with Jesus. And Peter denies him. The girl says it again. He denies him. And a third time, she says it and, you know, Peter begins to swear and everything. And then, in verse 57, verse 74, after it says, I don't know the man, immediately the rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. Many things happened at night before the rooster crowed. I want to highlight six things. And from there, draw lessons from it. Number one, we see in Matthew chapter, okay, we're going to go back to verse 33. Verse 33, and Jesus, before that, Jesus says, you know, everybody will be scattered, all of you are going to leave me. Peter stands up and says, even if I fall away on account, you know, I'm not going to leave you. Jesus says, this is exactly what's going to happen, all right? The rooster is going to crow, you're going to disown me. And Peter declared again, boldly, and possibly with pride as well, no way, man. I'm not going to leave you even to the death. I'm going to be right there with you. The first lesson I'd like us to draw from here is this. You know, Jesus, at that point of time, he's saying, what will happen. But interestingly, note that he says this in verse 32, but after I've risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. All right? So Jesus is saying, okay, everybody's going to be scattered, but hey, I'm going to go before you. Meaning to say what? You're going to be there, right? Okay? You're going to be right there. Peter caught the first part and he jumps up and says, no, that's not going to happen. Okay, I'm going to be there all the way. Not going to be scattered. The first lesson I like us to draw is this. Sometimes, it's better to just be quiet. Don't talk, just listen. Don't talk. Just, can you imagine what would happen if Peter just sat there and, okay. That's not very good news, but, I'm going to trust in you that everything will be fine. A lot of times you read this passage and it is very easy to point a finger and say, oh, this fella, how can he live with Jesus for 3.5 years, walk with him, eat with him, do everything with him. And then when it matters the most, you deny Christ. Not once, no, not twice, 3 times. Very easy to point finger. But again, if we look at ourselves, very often, if we are not careful, it's so easy to say, God, I will follow you to the end no matter what happened. Right? God, I will speak up for you. I will live for you. That's more temptation come in school or at home. Then, so easy to say, God, boss. How many of us have done that? We press the pause button on God, And then we go and live our life. And then we come back and we say, God, play. I'm with you again, And it's so easy to be able to turn our backs. And I'm not even talking about denying Christ, right? I'm talking about the simple things. God, I'm going to speak for you. If you bring this person to my path, I will share testimony for sure. And our next prayer is this, Lord, bring him back again next time. Sorry, I missed. So easy to point a finger. So the first thing I like to challenge us is this. Number one, let's learn how to be still. The Bible says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and listen to what he has to say. Don't talk so much. Be still and receive and learn to follow. Sometimes out of our enthusiasm and perhaps even pride, we jump up and say, Ken, I will do it. No, it's not going to happen that way. And we debate with God. Number two, the next thing that happened was this. Now Peter said, even if I fall away, even if all fall away, I will never, it's never going to happen to me. And then Jesus said this. Jesus gave a prophecy and a warning as well. Hey, before the rooster crows, you're going to disown me. What did Peter do? Absolutely nothing. With what Jesus said, absolutely nothing. There was no, God, what are you saying? There was no, really? Is that what you see in my heart? None. It went in one ear, went out the other ear, until he actually disowned Jesus, right? He was even bolder. He was even stronger in his words. The Bible says, but Peter declared, he make a declaration now. And you know that a declaration is not just between two people, right? It's not just Peter telling Jesus right now, hey, I won't leave you. he make a declaration to all the disciples, all those in the room, saying, this is not going to happen. The second thing that happened to Peter was that he never took heed of Jesus' warning. Number one, be still. Number two, be warned. The Bible, time and time and time again, gives us warning after warning after warning. Don't do this. Don't do that. Why? Because it will bring destruction upon your life. Don't. And many times, we read it and we think that, hey, that's for, you know, so-and-so sitting next to me. Or that's for so-and-so, you know, across the room. And we don't heed the warnings of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't heed the warnings that come from the Word. Last week we talked about that, you know, we emphasized that scripture that says that all scripture, the Bible, okay, is God-breathed, useful for teaching. Yeah, okay, we want that lah. Rebuking. Oh, wait a minute. We are not very happy with that kind of thing, right? Correcting and training in righteousness so that we can be thoroughly equipped. So we need to be warned whenever the Word of God warns us on certain things. And then the next thing that happened was that Jesus, while he's being arrested and being taken, Matthew tells us that Peter followed, but he followed at a distance. Peter followed him at a distance, right up to the courtyard. The third lesson that we can draw from this is that the Bible tells us where we need to draw near to God, right? Draw near to God and he will draw near to you, James says. Okay. And we need to be close in the presence of God. Now what Peter thought that he was doing correct in that, hey, I'm not going to leave you, right? He drew back and the Bible says he followed from a distance or from afar. But what the Bible encourages us to do is to constantly draw near to Christ, to be close to Him. Now you think about it, hey, wait a minute. If we draw near to what's happening, right? I'm going to be persecuted as well, right? If you're going to be right there with Jesus, the answer is yes, sir. And the Bible tells us, each one of us, that we will suffer for His name's sake. We will suffer. A lot of times I've been thinking about that and I ask, you know, Lord, what is it you want us to go through? What is it you want me to go through in order to shape, to build? What kind of suffering do we have to endure? Paul tells us we need to partner with Him, you know. Partner means together with Christ in His suffering. So it is, living a Christian life is not smooth sailing. If it's smooth sailing, Charles Wesley said this, smooth sailing means something wrong. Of course, my paraphrase, he didn't say it. I'm not quoting him. But that was, for him, that was it. You know, if there's no persecution, there's no suffering upon my life, means I am not stretched for what God wants to do in my life. I used to give this illustration, a rubber band is only useful when it's stretched. You don't stretch a rubber band, it's not very useful. It is made to stretch. Then only can it be useful. I believe that's what God wants to do with us as well. He wants to grow us, stretch us, train us so that we conform little by little by little to the likeness of Christ. And so we need to learn how to be near. What does it take to be near, to draw near to the presence of God today? Let's not talk about Peter, right? But today, what does it take to draw near to the presence of God? Does it take time off, lock yourself in the closet? Does it take, you know, you getting up extra hour just to read the word? What does it take? And we need to ask the Lord to teach us how to draw near to Him. And so Peter draws, or rather he follows from a distance, from afar, and he sits down in the courtyard together with the guards. And he's sitting there, and he's, you know, you cross-reference to the other gospel, he says that he warms himself with the in the fire there. Well, not inside the fire, you know. He warms himself there in the midst of the crowd where the fire is. And then, while he was sitting there in the courtyard, the servant girl comes. Number four, a lesson that we can draw is this. Now, Peter, well, he messed up following afar. But here he goes and he sits. Where does he sit? In the courtyard. He sits with the guards. Okay. And it speaks of where he's hanging out. Where he's warming himself. Where is he going to feel good? Obviously, it's, you know, night is cold. Fire gives you warmth, makes you a little bit more comfortable. And Peter is in the midst of a crowd who are guards, wrong crowd, sitting there trying to warm himself. A lesson that we can draw from this is we need to be in fellowship with the right crowd. With the right crowd. What are the crowds? Who are the people that we are warming ourselves with? It's a question that we need to ask ourselves. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, we just hide ourselves, lock ourselves in the room, just stick to yourself. I'm not saying that we, you know, just hang around Christians only. But I'm asking the question, taking that illustration of warmth and feeling good, who are the people that make you feel good, that you want to hang out with so that you feel good? In other words, who are the people that are influencing you and I today? You know, sometimes, well, not sometimes, a lot of times, we live in a world right now that we don't need to hang around people in order to hang around people. You don't have to be in community to be in community. What am I talking about? We have the internet. Right? We have social media. And we think we are being sociable by being on social media, which we are not. And so we hang around a community that makes us feel warm, feel good. And that influences us in a certain way. And it is a warning, I believe, to us before the rooster crows, that we need to check the fellowship that we are in. The people that make us feel warm. Peter was sitting among guards. Wrong crowd. And in the midst of that, because of that, I think that he was taken off guard. A servant girl comes and says, "You also with Jesus?" And he denied him. "I don't know what you're talking about." And then, when he went out, he moved out, another servant girl. Okay, it says there in verse 71. Another servant girl saw him and said to the people, "Hey, this fellow was with Jesus." He denied it again, with an oath this time. Okay? And after a little while, those standing went up to Peter and said, "Surely you are with one of them. The way you talk, your accent gives it away." And then the Bible says that he began to call down curses. And he swore that he doesn't know Jesus. I think of Peter, and I think of, you know, the kind of man that he is. He's a rough guy. He's one that's, you know, always out there in the front, ready, on the go. He's the one that's ready to jump into anything, right? And I'm thinking, hey, if a guy like that says, you know, "I'm going to follow you, I'm going to die," you know, he's prepared. And we can see that by the fact that when the, you know, soldiers and the priests came, he drew out his sword and, you know, went for this guy. And I'm thinking, hey, wait a minute. There are no soldiers here. He's among the guards, right? But it wasn't the guards that caught him off guard. It wasn't the high priest that came and says, "You know, you are with Jesus, right? You'll crucify you as well." Servant girl. I think he wasn't prepared for that. I mean, if big fella come, can lah, you know. The one of the guards come, can draw my sword. He was not prepared for a servant girl to come and say, "Hey, wait a minute, you." You know, sometimes we can psych ourselves to be prepared for the big stuff, but not the little stuff. But it's the little stuff that make us fall. Let's go for a mission trip. Yeah, I can, no problem. Can do. Let's do some ministry. Can. Let's, you know, lead a group. Can, no problem. The big stuff. And we prepare ourselves for the big stuff. But it's the little stuff. It's the little things that we are not prepared for. It's the servant girl who comes and, "Hey, but wait a minute. You told a lie this morning, right?" "No lah, didn't lie." And it's those little stuff that puts us off, that causes our ministry or what God wants to do in our life to begin to crumble. Peter wasn't prepared for an attack that came from a servant girl. He was not prepared. We need to ask ourselves, what do we need to do to prepare ourselves daily from the attacks of the enemy? Ephesians chapter 6 reminds us to put on the full armor of God, right? Put on the full armor of God. Why? Because the devil is out there. He's going to throw darts at you. Fiery darts, Paul says. And we need to be prepared. We need to put on the full armor of God. What does that mean in our lives? What does that mean to us daily? Be prepared. Number six. Are you there? Number six. The servant girl comes and says, "You with Jesus? No way. No way. Don't know him. Don't know what you're talking about." Another servant girl comes again. Don't know him. Don't know what you're talking about. Now, second time, he begins to as he denies it with an oath, right? The third time he begins to swear. And you see that his sin was built upon. It was piled up. It's one after another after another. And the Bible seems to tell us that, you know, it seems to give the picture that the first time, you know, he just mentioned, I don't know him. Yeah, it's a lie. But then that lie is built upon. It leads to another lie. Now, next time he says, I promise you, oath, don't know him. And the third time he begins to swear and curse. And the intensity grows from one to another to another. And then, after Peter denies him three times, the rooster crows. In fact, the rooster crows twice. It's interesting to note that, because Jesus said, you know, you cross-reference to the other Gospels. He says, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. Luke, I believe, says that. The first time you hear a rooster crow, I mean, you got to wake up already, all right? And this is in the midst of, you already denied Jesus once, you know, at least. The Bible is not clear when the rooster crowed the first time. Was it after his first denial, his second denial? Don't know. Maybe after the third, I don't know. But the rooster crows. Something needs to happen already. You know? But no, nothing happens. And the rooster crows again. And then, Peter realizes immediately after the rooster crows, he remembers what Jesus has said. In fact, if you read Luke chapter 22, verse 61, Luke 22, the cross-reference, Luke adds something there which the other Gospels does not, with Matthew does not. It says that, can we shoot that up? Luke 22, did I get that right? Okay, it says this. Okay, verse 60 says, I don't know what you're talking about. Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed, and the Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Now Jesus is right there, obviously some distance away. When the rooster crows, Jesus turns, looks at Peter, and Peter remembers the word of the Lord. Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and he wept bitterly. He went outside and he wept bitterly. Number one, be still. Number two, we need to learn to be warned. Don't let pride take over. Number three, we need to learn to be near Jesus and what God is doing. Number four, we need to be in the right fellowship. Number five, we need to be prepared for the attacks of the enemy. Number six, we need to be repentant. We need to be repentant. Peter didn't know, wasn't sensitive enough, and his sin was built upon. And he was not repentant initially. And then Jesus turns, the rooster crows, Jesus turns around, looks at him. Now you can only imagine, you know, what was going through Peter's mind, because at that point of time, he remembers what Jesus said. And I don't think that Jesus looked at him with this, see, I told you so, eyes. All right. I don't think so. You know, a lot of us, you know, eh, told you, you're going to deny me, right? You know, I don't think Jesus looked at him that way. I think Jesus looked at him with compassion, with love, with mercy. And Peter, while he looked back at Jesus, felt the weight of sin, of denying Jesus upon him. And he ran out, couldn't see Jesus anymore, ran out and wept bitterly. It was then that he was repentant. It was then. Beginning of the new year, we talked about new year message. Now Chinese New Year, we talked about Chinese New Year. Chinese New Year message. This is the year of the rooster. The Lord led me to think about this and ask ourselves, hey, where are we at and what do we need to do before the rooster crows again? Because many times in our life, if we are honest with ourselves, we will come to the point and say, God forgive me, fail again. Yeah, maybe we have not denied him out front, like what Peter did. But perhaps we have denied him in different areas. We have denied his working in our life. Hey, wait a minute. We have denied the working of the Holy Spirit in our life. We have denied the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. Because sometimes we can say, God, what's the use of praying? Said that before? You pray, no use praying anymore already. I already prayed. Your turn to pray. What is that? We're denying the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, right? Ouch. Rooster just crowed. We need to come constantly and say, God, help us. Help us to be still. Be one. Be near. Be in fellowship. Be prepared. And also be repentant. The Bible tells us that when we come before him, if we confess our sin, God is faithful. He is just. He will forgive us and he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, sometimes God allows us to fail so that he can rip out our self-confidence. No problem. Lead a group can. When we lead the group, fail. Why? Because we said, can, I can, instead of God can. And God allows us to fail so that he can layer by layer by layer rip out our self-confidence. Peter was a confident man. You see, later after the resurrection, he preaches, 3,000 comes to know the Lord. What changed? He understood the power of the Holy Spirit. He understood relying on God rather than relying on himself. God allows that sometimes. And God is a gracious God who redeems. This Chinese New Year, as we move around and we see red packets and roosters everywhere. You're on the TV, you see rooster already, right? Let's think about this particular rooster. Let's think about the implications of that and, how we need to live our lives, quote unquote, before the rooster crows again. I want to end with 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We looked at this last week, but we didn't look at all the verses there. So let's broaden that a little bit. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And let's read from verse 6. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 6. Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolatrous. Okay, why don't we go up to see what these things are, okay? Verse 1. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food, drank the same spiritual drink for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them. And the rock was Christ. Verse 5. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolatrous, as some of them were. As it is written, these people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 of them died. We should not test Christ as some of them did. They were killed by snakes. Do not grumble, as some of them did. They were killed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us on whom the culmination of the ages has come. These things were written down. Why? Because they set an example. They are warnings for us. Verse 12. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. If you think that you are standing firm, no lie, I will not deny you. If everybody run away, I will still be with you. Unto death, I will be with you. If you think that you are standing firm, be careful that you do not fall. And then he goes on to say, no temptation has overtaken you except that which is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up, so that you can endure, the Bible says, under it. Endure, you know. God doesn't give you a quick fix. When there's temptation, he's going to be there. He's going to help you overcome it by enduring through it. A lot of times we say, God, come solve my problem. Now it's your problem. Then we walk away. Huh? But God says, no. I put you there so that together I will help you through it if we are submitted to him. And so church, today I want to leave us with this to encourage us to constantly keep in step with God. To constantly be on guard. To constantly draw near to him so that we can be alert. Amen? Amen? Let's bow our heads right now. Father, we come before you and we see the example of Peter. Lord, we know that you have called this man and you have done great things through him. But there was this one point in his life where things seemed to be just messed up. And Father, we ask, O Lord, that you search our hearts. Lord, if our lives are messed up, Father, we ask for your grace right now. We ask, O Lord, that you teach us to learn to be still, to learn to heed your warning, to learn, O God, to draw near to you, to learn to be in the right fellowship. Teach us, Lord. Teach us, Lord, to be on guard. Teach us, Lord, to be repentant. Lord, don't let, as it were, the rooster crowing over our lives. Teach us, Lord, to be drawn into your presence. Even right now, Lord, we pray for ourselves. We pray for those who are away for the holidays, visiting relatives. Father, we ask, O God, that your word and your presence will be with them as well. Be specially close to them. Be with us, Lord, we pray, as we submit our lives to you afresh. In Jesus' name, amen.